This is
Blog Talk Radio.
This is Port of Harlem Talk Radio, and I'm your host for this show and also publisher of Port of Harlem Magazine at portofharlem.net. If you are listening via the internet, you can type your questions in the comment box. You can also call and listen by dialing on your phone at 516-531-9540. And if you want to ask a question after you are connected, press 1 and please be in a quiet place. You can also visit portofharlem.net and click Port of Harlem Talk Radio from the menu to hear this and past episodes. We're also available on about 7 podcast platforms. And lastly, We Talk Production sponsors Port of Harlem Talk Radio. Our guest today is Reginald Douglas. Reginald, are you online? Let's see if we get Reginald online. Reginald, do we have you online today?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay, great. Want to make sure everything is working well. You know,
excellent.
Fall has been.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on and thanks for your patience. You know, fall has been a good season for you, Reginald Douglas, as you are directing White Noise, now in rehearsal at Studio Theater in Northwest Washington, D.C. And across town in Northeast Washington, Mosaic Theater named you as Artistic Director. So often when we read or talk about theater, we talk about what is most visible, the actors. Today, hopefully we want to talk with you about your past and current theater jobs to get a better understanding of the many efforts that go into making what we see on stage. That's fair.
That sounds good to me. Thank you.
Okay. So at Studio, where you are now producing or directing, rather, White Noise, you're also the Associate Artistic Director. So what does an Artistic Director do?
Sure. So, again, thank you for having me. And you're right. I currently have 2 jobs right now. I am the
Multiple hats.
I'm currently the outgoing Associate Artistic Director at Studio Theater in Washington, D.C., where I work with Artistic Director David News, kind of his Kamala Harris, you could say, you know, overseeing casting, designer hiring. I do direct plays there, develop work, and work with all the departments and the staff and marketing development. And now I'm very grateful and honored to have been named the Artistic Director at Mosaic Theater. So we're going from Kamala to Barack. You know, going to my Barack Obama chapter. So I'm very grateful to be able to lead this organization forward. You know, Mosaic, our mission is to produce work that is socially conscious, work that inspires conversation and civic change. We focus on new and contemporary plays that really reflect the diversity of thought and communities that make D.C. and the DMV such an amazing, dynamic place. And as Artistic Director, my job is to help set the vision for the organization. How do we activate this mission? And for me, that's by producing and developing new work by writers of all races and backgrounds, by providing opportunities for young people especially to get involved in the arts through our education work we do and community development work we do, and to empower our staff to, you know, lead with empathy, to realize that our job as artists and arts leaders is to be in the business of empathy, to be actively engaging audiences in thought and conversation that can deepen their understanding about their neighborhood and about their community. So it's a dream job for me. I'm very grateful and really excited to get started working with the Dynamic Mosaic team to make DC some really cool, exciting art.
Okay, so we're going to talk more about the future of Mosaic under your helm, but I like the way you put it that in the past you were the Kamala, and now you're going to be the Barack. So, and what's the other task that you will now be overseeing?
I'll be overseeing our show selection, casting of the actors, the designers that we hire, directors that we hire, working with the managing director on fundraising, pursuing grants and donations to help support the work, working with marketing and community engagement staff to make sure we have a diverse audience in the house, providing programs that subsidize tickets for young people and make sure young people can see the plays, and overseeing our education work which supplements that through playwriting contests and through public programs. We have an amazing team that I get to, you know, collaborate with and living out that work. So I'm ready. It's a lot of work, but we're
ready. A lot of the work is on the business side. Is that correct? As opposed to the creative
side?
Yes,
it's the intersection. Exactly. It's the intersection of both, you know, the intersection of the business side and the creative side. So my job is to be really guiding our strategy and how we live out that artistic vision, you know? So yes, we're producing and I'm directing very gratefully exciting new plays that, you know, start here and go on around the country is our goal. But I'm also really thinking critically about the fundraising for those plays, the budgeting of those plays, how we market that to an audience. So it's best of both worlds, I like to say. You know, I love the rehearsal room. I also love the boardroom. And I get the opportunity now to be one of the few Black leaders in our theater industry who sits in that seat to be able to be overseeing both sides of the office, so to speak. So I'm really excited for this opportunity. And, you know, I mentioned, you know, one of the few African Americans in leadership because this is how we're going to change the field. You know, we are all interested in service. And so I look at this opportunity for myself as opening doors for more Black leaders and more of the next generation to take their rightful place in artistic seats as well.
Yeah, it all sounds really great and fantastic, and it's a little bit mind-boggling, but I'm going to get a little bit deeper into what other people do, or what you've done in the past, rather, to get a bigger picture of all the other behind-the-scenes jobs. So I know that previously you worked as an artistic producer at City Theater in Pittsburgh. So what's the difference between an artistic director, your new job, and an artistic producer?
Sure. You know, the joke people say is, well, the hours, you know. they all are parts of all, the hours in the title, but they all are parts of the whole. You know, I think if we were to think, I mentioned, you know, the vice president to the president, it's a very similar idea. So when I was at City Theater in Pittsburgh for 5 years, 2015 to 2020, I was working under an artistic director, you know, at their producers. So I was, again, looking at the casting, the budgeting, the hiring of the work, and directing plays as well. Then to associate artistic director, you know, another title bump, so to speak, and now as the artistic director. So, you know, I always say the job titles have changed, but my mission has not. You know, I am deeply dedicated, no matter what the title is, and no matter what the organization, to using my gifts as an artist and my voice to create work that sparks conversation and change. No matter where I've been working, I'm grateful to try to stay true to that North Star, is what I like to say. And that, again, job titles change, you know, seats of power, so to speak, may change. But
as a
what defines me.
But as a producer, it sounds like you were pretty much doing the same thing you would do now, except that you won't be the buck won't stop. The buck before it didn't stop with you, it stopped with someone else.
Exactly. That's exactly it. That's exactly it.
Okay.
But,
so
you know, the decision-making seat is where I sit now. Exactly.
Okay. So in the past, you still work with hiring the people, trying to raise money for the organization, trying to make sure you have a diverse audience, or at least an audience, et cetera.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. So in your career, you've developed plays, you've been a dramaturg, and you produce over 75 plays, musicals, and multimedia projects. I won't even tell you my experience of learning what a dramaturg is, but first, I'm going to let you talk about it. What is a dramaturg? And I'm not sure I'm pronouncing it correctly.
Say,
go ahead.
Yeah, you're doing it right, dramaturgs. Yeah, dramaturgy. Okay. It's the people who are doing the research and the development of the play. So dramaturgs are asking lots of questions to the playwright, helping them get to the best version of the story. And I like to think I always say to my students, dramaturgs, they're asking why. You know, why is that happening in this scene? Why that moment? Why and what if? And a director's going, why and how? So as a dramaturg who also is a director or a director who also is a dramaturg, I'm asking questions to playwrights and composers that are, why did this happen in the play and why did you want to make it this way and what if we try it this way and here's how we can do that, because I then direct the actors and the designers to make that vision and that work on the page, you know, come to 3D life. So dramaturgs are often, they call them the unsung heroes because they're behind the scenes, you know, with notepads, helping everyone tweak the text and tweak the lines and asking big questions that help us all get to the best product that's clearest to the artist's vision, but also really understandable for the audience. And as a director who primarily works on new plays, you know, with playwrights still working on the script as we're in rehearsal, having the love of both sides, dramaturgy and directing, is vital to my process. And again, one of the reasons I love new plays so much is we get the chance to be a part of making the play.
Once I had a conversation with the first dramaturg I ever met, and he gave me the impression, you can tell me how accurate and inaccurate it is that he also looked at the play from a historical context.
Yes, yeah, the research into the play. So if we're doing, you know, A Raisin in the Sun, for example, dramaturgs are providing research packets about being Black in the 50s and about Chicago and about the housing market. So, yeah, they are they're often the one with all the knowledge, you know. The one got Google open, they got the library card out. They are really vital to, you know, again, the audience and the actors understanding the play.
As a director,
I love having them in the room. They make you look smarter.
Yeah, it seems like it, because when we spoke to this one guy in particular, he really heightened my attention that such a job even existed, and that there was so much more going to a play besides what we saw on stage.
Yeah.
Is that he seemed, well, I was with an archivist that day. She's an archivist and historian, so she really loved it because it seemed like it was a cross between a historian and someone who wanted to present a story. And that,
yeah, that's a good way to put it. I like that.
Yeah, okay. That he really wanted to make sure that little things fit. Like, I guess I couldn't give an example, but say you wouldn't have a 1960 play or a 1970 play with a 1950s car, because he would say, hey, that car doesn't fit in this play.
Yeah, like, you know, the perfect kind of phone, you know, the perfect kind of phone to tell, you know, for that time period. Or, you know, they're helping the designers understand, oh, it's this watch, not that watch, you know.
Yeah. So what I'm getting to it toward the end is that it seems as though that there's lots of parts to a play that most of us never see. And that even I'm, and I should say even I, because I'm not, as a person who likes watching a live show, there's a lot more for me to learn about what's going on behind the scenes. But it seemed like when you learn about these people who are working behind the scenes, lots of times the people are non-Black. Is that still the case, or is that the case?
I think you're right. You know, in a lot of theaters, well, two thoughts on this. One, the Black theater community is strong and vibrant. We are out here. You know, we have always been a culture that is rooted in art, and especially theater. But what often happens is at the national level, you know, some of the large national organizations, we don't see people of color in leadership. You know, we don't see people of color given the opportunities that their white counterparts have had. And so I know for me and my colleagues, especially those of us in seats of leadership now, we, as I said, we are deeply committed to using our opportunity to open up more opportunities. You know, I'm grateful we stand on the shoulders of some amazing trailblazers who were all, you know, the only one in the room. You know, they were the only one in the room, looked around, and I had this experience quite often in my career. I look around the room at the staff or the board, and I'm the one dot. I'm not trying to create chocolate chips anymore. I'm trying to create, you know, real diversity that celebrates all of us. And I do that with pride and with humility in equal measure, because I'm proud to be a Black man sitting in this moment, but I'm humble enough to know that I'm here because of the ancestors and trailblazers who pushed through those struggles, you know, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s out here, you know, fighting for change. And I'm doing it so I can make sure my students and my next generation, you know, has an easier path for their role in ascendance into leadership and opportunities.
I guess one picture that I get that's in my head, and you can respond to this picture, is that oftentimes anybody can go to a theater, and we're like so happy because there's all these Black people on stage singing and dancing or doing something dramatic. And we'll say, oh, she was good, he was good. But we don't think about all the jobs that that are not in the hands of blacks or blacks that have opportunity to partake in that's in the background. And that's something that we should be more conscious of.
Definitely. And especially as, you know, where do we support? Who do we put our, give our support to? I think, you know, I encourage audiences of all races to think deeply. You know, is the theater company living the values in how they hire and who they hire that you believe? I believe in diversity and inclusion as a non-negotiable. You know, I believe we are, the art is made stronger and the world is better if we have multiple perspectives making it, right? Multiple cultures coming together. I want to create work with those kind of organizations. I want to support with my tickets and my, you know, my donation and my gifts, those kind of companies. And so who are organizations hiring? Who's on the staff? You know, who are they putting their resources into? I encourage audiences to think about that. Like you said, people behind the scenes, yes, the amazing actors, but all the talent and hardworking folks who are behind the scenes, let's make sure we're uplifting one another, particularly as black artists to black artists, make sure we're supporting one another and building our own and supporting our community.
Yeah, I think it comes across the board for me, because even in terms of journalism, you know, oftentimes people don't even pay attention to the black press. Nevertheless, think about who's behind the writer or the person that's on the screen, and that all those things help shape a story. But as a storyteller on stage, I think I'm sure that you see that as well. But I think that my attention, or at least my awareness, has been heightened. That it does make a difference as to who's behind the actors on stage.
Well, that's why I was so, speaking of, that's why I'm so grateful to have the chance to talk with you and be on the show with you, because I, but like you said, we don't sometimes celebrate our black journalists and all the work you've been doing and, you know, in the black journalist community and press community has been doing to make sure that black artists and black art gets recognized. So this is not, this is an honor, you know, to have the chance to speak on a platform like this about what I'm up to and Mosaic's up to and our vision for the future of DC's theater and national theater. This is a real gift and testament to you. So thank you again for also being, you know, for the work you're doing to uplift black voices and in a field that you say, you know, like you said, doesn't sometimes get recognized.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. And while we're speaking of diversity and inclusion, and that's part of our tag. We know Mosaic Theater takes pride in being inclusive and diverse as well, on and off stage. But what are your immediate goals with Mosaic?
Sure. You know, I believe that Mosaic has a mission that is everything to me. You know, our mission is to create cross-cultural theater that connects people. You know, we are in a city like D.C., which is so full of so many cultures and neighborhoods and communities. I want to make our theater a community center, a hub where people of all backgrounds and perspectives come together in dialogue. We're going to do that work through the programming we do on stage. So we produce about 6 plays every season. Next up for us is an amazing world premiere by Soleimani 24, one of the nation's top playwrights. He's our Andrew Mellon playwright in residence. It's the story of this black artist telling the story of his father, his estranged father, Maple, and the disconnections and misconnections that so many young black men and black men have with their fathers, but also the resilience and redemption of that relationship. And he does it with innovative technology and music and drums and spoken word. I'm so excited to be able to present plays like that. That's what we're up to first and foremost, is celebrating new voices with full productions and plays in process and development and making sure diverse audiences reach them. We also, I'm grateful to work with a brilliant female director named Angelisa, and she is the queen of our education work, and she's getting ready to do our playwriting contest. We'll be going into schools around D.C. In the DMV area to support students' voices, you know, that next generation I keep talking about. I'm so grateful to have Angelisa's leadership and saying, let's activate the next generation of playwrights and celebrate their creativity. So again, education as a value for our organization. And then diversity and inclusion, making sure that we are actively engaging all audiences. So we have ticket subsidies program to make sure cost is not a barrier. We do neighborhood night to celebrate the Northeast neighborhood that we're in on 8th Street. And we're really thinking critically about making sure all of our plays, which is, you know, for us coming up, I mentioned this world premiere during Maple. We also have two more world premieres coming this season, as well as Mary C. Cole, Straight from Off-Broadway, coming to D.C. by Jacqueline Sibley's Drury, one of our nation's top black female playwrights. She's coming to D.C. To make Mary C. Cole with us. You know, we're going to make sure all of that work is advertised and specifically advertised and celebrated by all of D.C.'s residents and communities, particularly those who often don't see themselves on stages in D.C. theater. You know,
well, I'm looking forward.
Those are the main goals we're up to right now.
well, dear Maple, I'm really excited about that because I've been reading about it and reading about it mm-hmm. and reading about it, and I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but that you all did pieces of it online.
That is correct. Yes.
And
we've been developing the show for a few years, and finally, it's here.
Well, unfortunately, I did see it online because, you know, we're going through the pandemic and we're all going through our changes. And I did go through my change of being able to see some theater online, but that particular piece, I did not see any of it. So, and I'm one of those people who did feel like, I don't know how long I can go through this because it's different between watching theater online by yourself or with someone else in a house than seeing with a group of people at Mosaic Theater on 8th Street. It's a whole different experience.
Yes.
And
especially a play like this one, because, you know, it has live drumming, and I mentioned the spoken word. It's like a joyful burst of energy, this play. And it's funny. Like, song is so funny. And I think there's something so special about theater when you can share that collective laugh, you know? You know, you share that, it's a full audience. You hear that music all together. It's a communal activity. It brings people together, so...
Yeah, the communal part,
the
communal part and the event part becomes missing. You know, you don't get a chance
Definitely.
To park your car. I don't get a chance to walk through, because I walk through the alley usually to get there. I don't get a chance to walk through the alley. I don't get to come to see who's there, to speak to a couple of people. You don't get a chance to come to the event afterwards and talk to people. All of this missing.
Mm-hmm. And for Mosaic, you know, we like to say, and I've always believed in that, Mosaic, we like to say that the plays we produce, the second part of the play begins after the show's over. You know, the plays we do spark conversation. You want to start a dialogue with your neighbor about them. And that's vital to the work we make. So I'm so excited to welcome audiences back safely. You know, mask on, vaccinated right now is a requirement. But January 2022, audiences can come back to the Atlas Performing Arts Center, see Dear Maple, a world premiere here in D.C., as a community. I just couldn't be more excited or inspired to share this work with audiences this winter.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to it after doing all the reading and having the opportunity to see it online but not see it online. I am really looking forward to that. But in the last 4 minutes...
I think you're going to like it.
I'm sure I will.
I think you'll like it.
But I'm definitely going to be glad to be back in the theater.
Yes.
But in our last 4 minutes, one of the things, too, I noticed about your resume is that you worked in so many different places. What kind of life does a person who works in your field lead when you can't, and maybe don't want to, be able to settle down in one spot and grow roots?
Well, that's exactly why I'm so excited about this next chapter at Mosaic Theater. It is my home. I'm planting roots. You know, I'm planting roots, firm roots in D.C. with Mosaic Theater. It is my artistic home. And for me, my job is to make more artists and more audience members feel like that, too, feel like Mosaic is the place they go all the time, the place they feel safe, the place they feel comfortable because they know they're welcomed to be themselves there. That's what I want as an artist and audience member. And now I have that at Mosaic. Now, I still direct around the country. I'm in Pittsburgh right now working on a musical. I'm on my break from my musical production I'm directing because I'm grateful to be able to shape stories around the country that live out this same vision I've been saying, you know.
Okay,
how
but I understand that part,
and art
but
start
do,
a conversation.
But how,
so
but
that's
how,
what I do.
But,
I travel a lot.
But for a person like you, how do you all do that? Do you have one place that you call your home, and then you move
DC's
to another place?
Home, and then I got a suitcase.
Yeah.
DC's home, and then I pack that suitcase, and I go on the road. But DC is my home. I live over in the DuPont Circle area. And now, of course, you know, our theater at Atlas on 8th Street Northeast. And I went to college in D.C., so I've always loved D.C. I wanted to be a politician and work in lobbying. So my original dream was to be a lobbyist. So I went to Georgetown to study politics and was working on the Hill. And it wasn't personal enough. It wasn't tangible enough for me. And I realized, oh, all the things that drive me to politics, particularly wanting to do community reform and development and education work, well, I can do that same work and live that same mission in the theater. And so being able to create plays that spark dialogue about what it means to be an American, plays that ask people to be in conversation with their neighbor, that's the same things that drove me into politics, and now I get to live that vision as an artist. And I love D.C. I can think of no better place to do that work, you know, than in the seat of the nation's capital.
Okay. So
I'm grateful to call D.C. home, but I have a good suitcase, so when I have to go on the road, I'm ready.
And so that means you have to rent a new place out, or do the theater buy you? I mean, does you have to rent a new place, or the theater find a home for you that they pay for oftentimes?
Oh, yeah. So when I'm out of town, many theater companies have artist housing, so nice apartments. That artists stay in. Mosaic has some, where we have guest artists from around the country come to Mosaic to work. And so that's what theaters around the country do for me. They fly me out, get me a nice apartment, you know, and then we rehearse, we do the work. And then as a director, once the show opens, I leave and go back home, you know, back to DC, to my actual apartment. And the actors, you know, they keep doing the show for the 2, 3, 4 weeks or however long the show's running. So I'm currently in my Pittsburgh apartment, my artist housing, and then in a few weeks, once we open this musical, I'll go back to D.C. to my real apartment and back to my office, no more remote office, but back to my actual, you know, desk at Mosaic to get planning for next year, because this spring, around February or March, we'll announce the programming for 2022 and 2023 season. So we're already planning 2023 activities, and I can't say anything yet, so I'll get in lots of trouble, but what I will say is we are bringing music to Mosaic next season. We are bringing a series of plays, I would say,
okay,
that,
and I last,
that look at
and I last,
a moment
and I
in history
second.
And move us
go
forward.
Ahead.
We're busy.
Okay, I'm going to let you close. I'm going to thank you for your time because we only got 10 seconds left, but I love the fact that you gave us a big, broader picture of what's going behind the scenes, not only in the theater, but as a person who worked in the theater. We know that you have a suitcase.
Yes.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for this opportunity to chat with you. This was great. I really appreciate it.
Likewise, I appreciate the time, and I'll see you hopefully in January.
See you at Dear Maple.
I'm looking forward to it. Take care.